Hello there. Thank you very much indeed for joining us for the Racing Post weekend postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose giving you wise words and hopefully winners on all the top weekend action. Here is what we've got. ITV's main channel is showing four races from Cheltenham and three races from Doncaster on Saturday. We'll do each of those and then we'll see what else the lads fancy. We'll get them Saturday naps. And then there are a couple of interesting races that have captured the eye of our experts on Sunday. So hopefully some Sunday winners as well. Let's kick on, though, with the first of the four ITV races at Cheltenham on Saturday. It's trials day. Not many runners, it must be said, because the going is good. And good, Keith Melrose, seems to become the new firm. I mean, my definition of good was always what it said. Good ground, suits all horses, come and run. But these days, good seems to be a bit of a red flag, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the best ground that tends to get allowed over jumps at most places. You know, they will water to avoid anything else. They've actually been watering at Doncaster this week because the reports are that it's not rained there since January the 8th. So, you know, basically tracks don't allow it to go any quicker than that. And yeah, you're right. People are quite reluctant about running their horses on that sort of ground. You know, we had that in most of in November, really. You know, we had small fields and there was a lot of hoo-ha about it because the ground was like that. And now it's back to that. We're looking at relatively small fields again.
Yes, exactly. Dry January isn't just for people detoxing. It's been very, very dry and the ground is good as a consequence. Okay, here's the 155. As I say, we've got we've got 11 runners. We've got 17 fences. Farina is 5-1. Galahad Quest 11-2. Magic Saint 13-2. Cool Cody 7-1. 8-1 Torn and Frayed. 8-1 Whatmore 10 Bar. Let's see who's offering extra places. At this stage, William Hill and Betfair are offering four. So shop around, as we always say on the show. I'll tell you what, DJ, if you've got a 2.5 mile chaser that acts around Cheltenham, it's a hell of a season for you, isn't it? There's so many good races for you. And here's yet another one, 56 grand to the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. You go from Paddy Power to the December Gold Cup and then obviously New Year's Day and then you're into this. So there's loads of options.
Yeah, that looks like Cool Cody. He can absolutely clean up, can't he? Will he win this?
I hate myself for this, Bruce. I really do. But I'm going to have to tip up Spirit of the Games because he's just gone down to such a low mark and he's got a good £5 claimer on board. And if he is going to have a day this season, this has got to be it for Spirit of the Games. He's 12-1. And when he's that price off this mark, you've got to take a chance. He's got cracking form over this course and distance at his best. He's an enigma and he hasn't won for quite a while now. I think the last time he actually won a race was back in October 2018 when he won that listed novice chase at Chepstow. But he has some decent recent form to his name. And I actually didn't think he ran that badly on New Year's Day in that handicap hurdle over 3 miles. He was still in front coming down to the second last. I don't think he stays 3 miles. I just think everything is in his favour here. And if he can't be competitive off this mark with a £5 claimer, I'm going to give up. But I have to give one more vote to Spirit of the
Games. It's going to be out the back of your TV screen, though. And you're going to see the action unfold. And you're going to take the extra plate. You're going to, come on, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Oh, that was so disappointing in the Paddy Power. I just thought, I had 7 places. I thought, come on in, come on, come on. It just didn't quite get there. I'm not sure my loyalty stretches as far as yours does. But Spirit of the Games is DJ's first tip. Keith, you've always had a little soft spot for Farinet. You going for that one?
I am. I'm glad DJ said what he did about Spirit of the Games because there is just a little itch needing to be scratched on that horse. he is just a character. We'll call him a character, but you know what I want to call him. And that's the way he is. But I'm glad DJ's put him up because he is just niggling at me in this field. It's one of the weakest of these sorts of races I've seen, to be honest with you. And I wouldn't have normally put up Farinet. I thought he got a bit of a fright when he ran in the Racing Post Gold Cup here in December in soft ground. Going right-handed might be more his thing, but this is just so weak. He's such a progressive horse, and Lucy Turner's claiming 7. She's actually a good £7 claimer. I've seen more of her recently. Venetia Williams has used her more this season, and she's shown what she can do. I thought the ride she gave Fanyan Destreval last week was really good, if not better than the ride on the winner. She wasn't on as well a handicapped a horse, but really did take that race and ride it at Ascot exactly like you should, so you've got no qualms about her riding in this sort of race. Farinet, I think, is going to... I think he's a 145 horse. he's the only horse in this race I can see being miles ahead of his mark. I might not back, I probably won't back him between at 5-1, because if he's on that off chance that he is more soft ground and more going the other way, then he might just not finish anywhere. But he's the sort of horse that could win this by 10 lengths, because he's the one of very few that looks way ahead of his mark.
Okay, how about this for a roll of honour? Native River, Santini, Frodon, Definitely Red, Mini Cloud, Schmad Place, The Giant Bolster. It's like a who's who of our favourite chasers down the years. They have all won the Cotswold Chase, which takes place at 2:30 on Saturday, sponsored by Paddy Power, over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. As I said, small fields, just 5 turn up for this. Chantry House, on a retrieval mission after being pulled up in the King George, heads the betting at 10 to 11. Yeah, simply the bets, 100 to 30. I write for the aforementioned Santini, now, of course, trained by Polly Gundry. He's out to 10 to 1. He's only 10 years old. Is he really that past it? And Corto Rico is 50s. Not necessarily the strongest Cotswold chase, Keith, and an interesting punting puzzle. Do you put your faith in Chantry House to bounce back? Or do you say, brilliant, that's 55% of the book taken out, I'm going to get some value elsewhere?
I'm erring towards the latter. Chantry House, you know, he's a McManus-owned, gets priced up on reputation. He can win over shorter, but is probably a three-miler and needs that sort of trip because he doesn't jump fences very well. He's basically Ralph Schumacher to Champs Michael, isn't he? That's what this horse is.
I'd never thought of it like that, but yeah, it's fair enough.
That the way he wasn't quite right in the King George, and maybe that's true, but he just jumped like a tube again. He just did not jump at all. And when he won his two grade ones in the spring, in the Marsh and the Mild May entry, on both occasions, they were well-run races, to be fair, but on both occasions, the pace in those races got his jumping at it. Until he shows me the ability that they think he has, I'm not going to be backing him. So the reason he is 10-11 a little bit is because, you know, he's not up against anything else that's going to be a likely contender in the Gold Cup. But I may have a bet that a fear is motivated, at least partly by sympathy, that I write is just going to, he's got loads of low 160s form. He's going to try his hardest again. You know, he's running in this race, I think, as a real prep for the Gold Cup, because he would be running in the Sky Bet otherwise. He was second in that last year. And yeah, he's just an ultra reliable horse. He'll definitely stay. You know, simply the bets might not. I think he probably will, but he might not. Santini, you know, there's always things you have to take on trust with him, and the list is only as long as it's ever been the list of things, Santini, you've got to take on trust. And Chantry House, as we sort of discussed at the top, is a horse that he's still not cashed the checks that have been that sent his way. So God, is I right really going to win a Gold Cup trial? But yeah, I think the circumstances just about make it worthwhile at 4-1.
Interesting stuff. DJ, are you agonising like Keith over this, or are you seeing it more clearly?
Crystal clear, Bruce. Crystal clear. I do not get Chantry House. I don't get him as a horse. Never did and never will. He obviously won his two grade ones last season, but there's surely an asterisk next to them, because Envoy Hélène obviously fell in the Marsh, and it really turned into a moderate event. Like, Fusil Raffles was second, Asterion Falange is better going right-handed was third, and Chatham Street Lad was fourth. Like, it was a poor enough race. And even if you go to his wide margin win in that Mile May Novice Chase at Aintree, I think Esporta Rame would have beaten him that day. And like, the rest of them are middling as well. I just think he's a horse that has this huge reputation. And when you see him being sent off favour for the King George, you're just scratching your heads going, how did this actually happen?
And unbelievable, wasn't it? Unbelievable.
I honestly think that this is obviously going to backfire spectacularly, because this is what happens to me in life. But this is the lay of the weekend. It has to be. I would have been more confident if it was a High Senor was the one that stood his ground and was running here, and there was a bit of rain. But Simply the Bet has stood his ground, and I think Simply the Bet will beat Chantry House. He's had one try over 3 miles, but they did exactly what you shouldn't do, I think, when you step up and trip. They rode him completely differently and tried to ride him cold in the Many Clouds Chase at Aintree. That's not Simply the Bet. I thought he ran an absolute cracker on New Year's Day behind you. He was trying to give £18 to Vienna Court. They were 10 lengths ahead of Alan Adam that day, who was back in third. He's officially rated 157, only £3 below Chantry House. He's earned that rating. He's getting £4 from Chantry House now. He's 130 and Chantry House is odds on. The betting is completely wrong. And I think most people have got Chantry House wrong. And I think Simply the Bets is the bet of the day.
Sounded like you were getting a slow hand clap halfway through.
No, that was a round of applause. Yeah. It was exactly that with Simply the Bets at Aintree. You know, when they go up and trip with these horses and they ride them to get the trip, so they ride them less efficiently to get a longer trip.
Yeah.
It is nonsense. It is, and he didn't jump.
Keith, it's because racing people are absolutely obsessed with distance and they are so fussy about it. And they think that going from 2.5 to 3 is this massive, great leap up. It just isn't. Mo Farah can win over 5,000 and 10,000. Now, I know it's different. Horses and humans are slightly different. It just, my point is, horses are much more trip versatile than they're given credit for. So I'm absolutely backing you up there.
I'm going to pass on a wee anecdote here from Tom Siegel. He told me once, he said he sat once beside Martin Pipe at a do, and Tom being Tom, really inquisitive sort, gets what he can out of people, you know. And he said to Martin Pipe, he says, what is the thing? Because he knows Martin Pipe was a really deep thinking about stuff. And he says to Pipey, what's the thing that we get wrong as tipsters and analysts? He says, trip. Absolutely zero question, trip. He says, I could have won with Unsinkable Boxer over 2 miles if I wanted, because he was the best horse in my yard. He says, it's the a lot of people looking from the outside, even tipsters, we obsess too much about trip.
Massively true, massively true. The horse that epitomised that for me was Paco Boyd. Do you remember Paco Boyd back in the day?
Yeah.
Everyone had him down as a sort of 7.25 furlong horse. So there's just all this painstaking debate about it. It doesn't, the pace of the race dictates whether you're going to stay or not. It's absolute nonsense.
The thing with Paco Boyd, wasn't it? That he was, you got horses that were better than him at 6 in the mile. And he didn't at 7, and that's why he won those races.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone obsesses about this trip far too much. Right, anyway, we move on to the, where are we now? 3:05 at Cheltenham. It is the Welsh Marches Stallions at Chapel Stud, Cleve Hurdle. Over 3 miles, and Champ, 4-7, Fav. McFabulous is 4s. Paisley Park out to 9-2. Liz Nagar Oscar is 25-1. And it's Dandy Mag at 50s. Only 5 runners, but 2 of them have won the Stayers Hurdle at the festival. And Champ may well do so this year. Do you agree with that, Keith?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a race. I probably won't bet in the race, to be honest. But I look at Champ and it's more the opposition. You know, I've seen Chris Cook making the point today that why would you take 4-7 about Champ? He's not exactly Mr. Reliable. And yeah, I can take that point on board. But McFabulous probably doesn't stay. You know, the idea that he might is based purely on Paul Nicholls insisting it's the case, and much as I respect Nicholls, I'm not going to necessarily
whoa. You're just after talking for 5 minutes saying the trip doesn't make any difference, and now you're saying that Fabulous won't stay.
I've seen this horse cut out and steadily run 3 mile races. I've seen that with my own eyes.
I'm only playing devil's advocate.
No, DJ, there's a difference between saying that a horse doesn't stay a particular trip, and I think the point we're more making is that when you do try, the trainers are too reluctant to try a different trip, and when they do, they see it as this kind of journey into the unknown and do daft things like change the tactics. Oh yeah, there are certainly certain situations where a horse doesn't stay. We know that, and it's perfectly valid to raise the point. Although I do understand where you're coming from, DJ. It sounds superficially like we're having an argument with ourselves, but it's a valid point, Keith. Pray continue. I feel like the speaker. Prime Minister,
bloody hell.
Sir Keir Starmer.
Slightly better. This is a horse. We've got evidence in this horse, haven't we? And how's Cobden going to ride him, knowing what's happened before with this horse over 3 miles? You know, he might end up just giving Champ first run again. There's loads of things coming into it. Paisley Park, what's he got left these days? He has just not looked the horse he used to be. I wouldn't be absolutely astounded if Liz Nagar Oscar finished second, to be perfectly honest with you. And that tells you the sort of depth this race has got. So can't really be opposing Champ, but he's not the sort of horse I'd be backing at 4-7 either.
Okie dokie. DJ, have you got a bet for us here?
Yeah, it's kind of an identical set of circumstances to Classical Dream at Goran the other day, I think. Classical Dream, in all-known form, should have won, and he was rated £26 better than Royal Cahala and only given away 11, and he was still beaten because he's just not that reliable. And I think Champ is something similar. Look, I love Champ, and I think
sorry, DJ, I know you're leaving a pause so I can jump and say, well, that was a great tip, by the way, DJ. It was a very good tip, and I backed it on your say-so, so many thanks for that. So well done with that. And you're seeing similarities here, yeah?
I am, yeah. I love Champ. And to be honest, if they decided after Saturday, and even if he won, that he was going to run in the Gold Cup, I'd be going, don't discount Champ. Champ could win a Gold Cup. That's how much ability I think he has when he gets everything right. But he's just not a horse that you can have any faith in at a very sharp price. Like, if Champ was running here and, you know, Time Hill and a load of horses were in it and he was odds against, you could obviously argue that he was value. But I don't know how you can ever argue at 8 to 15 best price and 1 to 2 everywhere, basically, the Champ is value. I don't think he is. I think he's always a horse that you can kind of take on at that sort of a price. And I think in McFabulous, you've got a horse who could potentially be a genuine Stayers Hurdle contender. Like, there was we spent ages kind of saying that McFabulous was a flat track horse and a flat track bully, and he needed tracks like Kempton or Newbury to be at his best. But he's lightly raced. He doesn't have many miles on the clock. He's unexposed as a stayer. He's got loads of ability. It's a second run after Wind Operation. He did stay on very, very strongly after getting outpaced and blown up in the Rel Keel behind Stormy Ireland. And I just think at the prices, 4 to 1, he mightn't win, and he doesn't have as much ability as Champ. But he's 4 to 1, and he might win. So I'd be chancing McFabulous rather than chancing Champ.
Okay. It's a side point to what DJ said there, but the most important race in terms of what Champ runs in at Cheltenham might actually be the Cotswolds, in terms of how Chantry House runs. You know, yeah. Champ could win this, but if Chantry House blows out, then does that increase the chances of Champ running in the Gold Cup?
It's really interesting, isn't it, to have a horse who is a genuine contender for the Stayers Hurdle and the Gold Cup. I mean, in the same season.
That's... Yeah, he's a monster with a screw loose, isn't he? That's basically what he is.
Is he that nutty?
Maybe now? Not anymore. Maybe not so much anymore.
It feels to me like he's grown up a bit.
Well, I was really sweetening him in last year's Gold Cup, and I obviously told all my mates and a load of people back them with my advice, and like, he just embarrassed himself. Like, it was shocking. So I don't know. He's had back problems. Hopefully they're fixed. And I'd actually hope he wins, and I hope he wins well, because I think he's a very good horse. But Jesus, you can't rely on him.
I hope he runs in the Gold Cup. Whatever means he runs in the Gold Cup, I want to happen.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Well, I mean, it is trials day, and we'll learn a lot. And yes, we may get some clarity on where Champ ends up at the festival. In the meantime, the 3:40 at Cheltenham is the 2.5. No, it's not. It is the 2.5 mile Ballymore Novices Hurdle. It's a Grade 2, and we've got 6 runners. Hillcrest, in the lovely old Trevor Hemmings colours, is fav at 13-8, and then we've got Balco Coastal at 15-8, North Lodge at 6s, and 9-1 and upwards. The others. Who do you like here, DJ?
Oh, I really want Hillcrest to win, like really want him to win, but I think Balco Coastal will win. He's getting £5 from Hillcrest, obviously. I just think Balco Coastal is probably a better horse than I am, Maximus. We haven't seen evidence of that yet, but I think the only way we're going to see evidence of that is this step up and trip for Balco Coastal. Like, he was chased home gentleman's game in his point, and everything about him screams kind of, you know, that he's not a 2 miler. I think 2.5 miles is going to be his trip, and I like what they've done with him. They've kind of, you know, ran him in 2 2-mile hurdles at Huntington and Ludlow, which are quite sharp tracks, got his jumping together, got his kind of eye in, and now they're stepping up and trip for this, and I'd imagine they'll go for the Ballymore afterwards. I think he's a good horse, and I think Balco Coastal will beat Hillcrest.
Righty-ho, what about you, Keith? Who do you like here?
Yeah, broadly similar. I do think Balco Coastal he was doing his best work at the finish at Ludlow. The horse that Fred Darm that matched him won next time, but it was only in the last furlong he really extended away from that horse. So, and obviously he has that good point from a gentleman's game. And the horse that was third is also a sort of decent horse now at 115, 120, I think. So, yeah, and I've heard the vibes about this horse are very good as well. The way he's been campaigned, I'm surprised he's in this race. He's got a mark of 130. And I can guarantee that if Willie Mullins trained this horse and had the horses in the Ballymore and Supreme that Henderson has, they wouldn't be running him in a race like this. They'd be running him in a Grade 1 where he couldn't compete, or they'd be doing something else to protect his mark and running him in the Martin Pipe. It seems like the natural race for him at the festival for me. He might be up against it in one of the Grade 1s, but I think this it strikes a little bit at one of the differences between how Irish yards and British yards sort of camping their horses towards Cheltenham. It's not that Nicky Henderson doesn't care about Cheltenham, he cares about it more than anybody, but I reckon if Mullins had this horse, he'd be campaigning it a little bit more cannily.
Okay. Right. Well, that was Cheltenham. Let's look at Doncaster next.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington trying to get winners and wisdom out of David Jennings and Keith Melrose. Three on ITV on Saturday at Doncaster. Start with the 2:10, the Skybet Yorkshire Rose Mare's Hurdle. 2 miles and 100 yards, just the five runners. Miranda, favourite for Paul Nichols and Bryony Frost at 10 to 11. Anna Bonina, 4 to 1. Miss Heritage, 6 to 1. Western Victory, 13 to 2. Dazzling Glory, 28 to 1. And Keith Melrose, you can go first. Where should we be putting our money?
Miranda, probably. She's likeable. She's consistent. She's obviously won this race last year. She handles conditions pretty well. You know, it's another... When was the last time you got excited about a mare's race? Not this one for me. She'll just win. She actually is a horse I like. And because it's a mare's race, it's actually lacking in depth. But I think she'll win. And if anything, I'd say 10-11 might be underplaying our chances of anything.
Okay, Keith is going to go with the favourite. Are you DJ?
Yeah, terrible race. I think she'll win as well.
Rightio. Don't go on. 2:45 at Doncaster is the Albert Bartlett River Don Novices Hurdle. 3 miles and half a furlong. And we've got seven runs. Really small fields for all the TV action on Saturday. Disappointing. Although the next race actually does have a nice big one. But anyway, in the meantime, let's look at the 2:45 where Unanswered Prayers is 11-4 Fav. My Bobby Dazzler's 9-2. Marla Mission is sixes, as is Not At Present. 13-2 Bridge North. 15-2 Corbain Boy, and the real whacker is 10-1. And David Jennings, the winner is called
Unanswered Prayers, Bruce. It's not very original, but I really did like his last two runs. I thought that second a stage star. I was actually chatting to somebody about this during the week. The more I look at the Ballymore, the more I think we're pigeonholing stage star into the kind of brave man's game kind of thing, in that, oh, brave man's game was really good and he won the Shallow, and shallow winners have a desperate record in the Ballymore, and he's just going to be beaten by an Irish horse in the Ballymore. But stage star is actually very good in his own right, and I actually think stage star is a massive chance in the Ballymore. Unanswered Prayers got within 7.5 lengths of him off level weights at Newbury back in November. Kinsardine was 9 lengths back in third that day, and the likes of Bumpy Johnson, who was a decent bumper horse, was well beaten in fourth. And since then, I was quite taken with him at Wincanton. I just loved the way he travelled down the back, and he got the job done readily enough. I thought he was more impressive than 2.25 lengths. He always looked like winning up the home straight, and I liked the fact that there was a fair distance back to the third Bold Conduct that day. I think this is a decent horse. I think if he ran in one of the handicaps, like the Martin Pipe at Cheltenham, he'd have a chance. So a pretty strong vote for Unanswered Prayers for me.
Oh, you make a good case there, DJ. Keith, what are your views on this race?
It could be a funny race one. Sometimes it can... I mean, Doncaster, this meeting, Doncaster does drain very well, but if it actually rains, it can deteriorate pretty quickly, and sometimes this race turns into a right plot. It's not probably going to this year, and if it did, I might have fancied My Bobby Dazzler more strongly. He's just a horse that, I mean, I watched his race back today, the one at Cheltenham on New Year's Day where he was fourth, and besides him basically getting taken off his feet going down the hill, he kept pace all the way through. They seemed to go quite strong. Dolphin Square picked them all off one by one, and it was just that bit going down the hill where he lacked either experience or a bit of a gear, because he is bred to be a really strong staying chaser. Like he's bred to be a proper plodder. And he just might be a horse that's got more improvement to come on a flatter track where they don't just take that step up and bury him for pace. I think he'll improve. He's already got just about the best form in the book, and he's 92. So I thought he was a reasonable shout.
Thank you very much. DJ fancies Unanswered Prayers. Keith fancies My Bobby Dazzler. And the 3:20 at Doncaster, wrapping up the Saturday TV action. is the Skybet Handicap Chase over 3 miles. This will be good. There's 17 runners. Let's see who's offering loads and loads of extra places. 6 from William Hill, 6 from Betfair, 6 from Paddy Power, 6 from Skybet. So, great each-way betting race with 17 going to post and Foozle Raffles in the double green is fav at 5-1. It's 6-1 Captain Ord. It's 15-2 Cap Corsi, 8-1 DBC, 10-1 D Machine and Midnight Shadow, 14-1 Bar. Keith, you love a staying chase, so I bet this is the race of the weekend for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of them. It's a really smashing race, and it's quite competitive as well. My bet in it has been slightly influenced by a sense of unfinished business, but I am going to be having I've already had a decent bet on DeBecci or DBC. Is it? What is it? I don't actually know.
I don't know. I went DBC. You went DeBecce, did you?
Yeah,
think
I did.
Some sort of Italian word.
Well, I'd have thought double E's to be DBC.
I don't know. I think because they're not actual words, I think the owners just make them up, don't they?
Maybe it is.
You may be right. You may be
main
right.
Thing
I'm
with
just
this
going to quickly see if it is a word. But anyway, yeah. You make the case.
I'll be a while on this one anyway, Bruce. So
all right, go on then.
Because he was meant to be an RSA horse for Tim Vaughan, and Dan Skelton would be he'd be a better trainer of staying chasers certainly than Vaughan, and has got him just his second start. Now I watched it. I haven't watched his run at Sandown last March back since because it was too painful. I had a pretty big bet on him. In fact, I think I've napped him on the podcast that weekend last year, and he got ridden a bit too hard. Really, he finished quite slowly. He went on to a bit too early, and Fortescue caught him. Now Fortescue's half stone better horse. Now the horse in third was in his free lad who won one of those challenge series races at Haydock next time he ran, and DeBecce shaped best in that race for me and by quite a way. Got a £5 rise for it, but absolutely deserved it. He was laid out for the Roland Merrick, I'm sure of it. And I backed him Vanity Post for the Roland Merrick and tuned in just before the race went off to watch it, and he wasn't there. He got pulled out, self-certificate. He is clearly a fragile horse and clearly a horse that they struggle to get right. However, if DeBecci's turning up today, even if the Sandown DeBecci's turning up today, I think he should be favourite. So I'm going to have to get involved 8-1. A bit of revenge for the Roland Merrick bet, if nothing else, but I really do fancy him quite strongly to win a decent prize.
Okay, mate. I think we're both wrong. Having looked into it, apparently it's a family name from the Languedoc region of southern France. So I think it might be DeBecce. But anyway, we'll see what the commentator comes up with. David Jennings, who's your selection for the Sky bet?
Yeah, Keith made a good case there. And that was the one thing I was afraid of. I was kind of, because you and me both know, Bruce, Keith is very good at these staying handicap chases. Like he's really, really good at them. This is your forte.
I tell you who else knows that as well. My mate Tony, who I go park running with on a Saturday morning. A couple of years ago, he just came up. So you're Bruce, aren't you? He said, yeah, hi, I'm Keith. And we just became really good friends. And he's an avid listener and he loves Keith over a staying chase. So yeah, it's not just us that love Keith.
Did he say anything about me? No.
Absolutely hates you. No, he doesn't actually. No, he doesn't. He often says, "Oh yeah," he'll say, "Oh yeah, DJ's napped that, hasn't he?" So no, don't worry, mate. Don't worry. Don't be insecure.
That was beaten. DJ napped that last week. That was beaten.
DJ, while we're on the subject of Tony, he did say to me last week. He said, "All those horses you mentioned on the postcast won, and the lads just talked them down. They shot you down in flames, and yet they all won." Do you remember that?
They did, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I do.
I kept the faith. Sorry, DJ, I've done my very best to break your concentration. Who wins this?
No, I was just, because the one danger to my selection is DBC or DeBecce or DeBec, whatever you were saying there. That was the one horse I really didn't want. And I was going along a similar team of Paddle Your Own Canoe, who was pulled up after 100 yards in Warwick a couple of weeks ago. And he's got a massive chance. And I'm, because of that, I'm kind of a bit more lukewarm. But I just think Fusel Raffles is guaranteed to run his race. And he is the one kind of classy, proper, you know what you're going to get from him type of horse, I think, in this race. Like, if you were to ask people what is Fusel Raffles' rated, I'd imagine most people would guess kind of near 160 or in around 160. Like, he's run off 151 here. And he's been through some really big battles, so he has. I thought he ran really well because he made a really bad mistake at the 10th in the Racing Post Gold Cup, as it's now called, Cheltenham in December. I know he was a lucky winner of the Charlie Hall before that, but he still won it easily in the end after Chamblou came down. Now, he would have been a well-beaten second if Chamblou didn't fall. Before that, he was second to Brave Man's Game. There was a massive distance back to the Futures Bright, who ran well last weekend, and obviously the big breakaway was in that race in Newton Abbott as well. And then I know I was given out about Chantry House earlier on in the podcast, but he was second to him at Cheltenham in the Marsh. And you know, Chantry House, no matter what you say about him, he's a graded chaser if I don't think he's a proper grade one kind of winner. But I'm convinced that Fusel Raffles can run to a mark of, you know, 1.56, 1.57. He's run off 1.51 here. So I think he's got 5 or 6 pounds to play around with. And if you're having a bet each way, if you're getting 9-2 each way about Fusel Raffles, the first four, I think he's guaranteed to be in that.
First six, never mind that.
Yeah, first six, like, God. Yeah. If he doesn't finish in the first six, I'd be baffled.
Funny enough, as you were speaking, the 5-1 that was the best price disappeared. So maybe we've been hacked.
I can't multitask, so it's not me.
Okay, fair enough. So in the big race at Donny, it's Fusel Raffles for DJ and DeBeese, I'm going to go with, for Keith. Right then, that's the TV action wrapped up. But I'm sure the lads are brimming with other winners for you. So stick around for 10 more seconds and we'll get them.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose. We've done the TV action. Let's do the rest. We've got the undercards at Cheltenham and Donny. And then we've also got Utoxeter over the sticks. There's All Weather Fair at Lingfield and Kempton. And they are also racing at Fairy House, an 8-race card over there. DJ, you can start off. Don't give us your nap, but tell us what else everyone should be backing tomorrow.
Yeah, in the 12:45 at Cheltenham, are we not completely underrating ICO? Or ICO, I don't know how we pronounce it, ICO. The Chris Giles horse for Paul Nicholls. That win at Kempton, which was kind of camouflaged a little by all the good racing that went down over Christmas. Like, he won by 17 lengths and absolutely bolted up. His time from the second last line was really impressive. And he just looked like a bit of a monster to me. And I'm very surprised he's not favoured for this. And I'm very surprised he's not shorter than 10-1 for the Triumph Hurdle. I think he's really good, ICO, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again. And I wouldn't put anybody off having a few quid in him at 10-1 for the Triumph Hurdle before this, because I think if he's impressive, I think he's going to be much closer to Phil Doran the betting for the Triumph. So ICO would be a confident vote for me here. I think.
Do you know what? Well, I mean, the only thing is there, DJ, and I'm for what it's worth, which isn't much, I was equally blown away by that Kempton win. But obviously, Pied Piper comes over for Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell. I mean, how fearful should ICO backers be of that one?
Yeah, it's obviously interesting that Pied Piper is coming over, and he's in the same ownership as Phil Doran, is obviously favourite for the Triumph Caldwell Construction. And he beat a well-regarded horse of Willie Mullins's in a maiden hurdle at Punchestown on New Year's Eve, and there was 15 lengths back to the third. And if ICO wasn't in the race, I would say that Pied Piper would be a good thing. But I think ICO is very, very good. So I am with ICO. In the 120, two of my favourites, well, certainly my top 20 favourite horses in training are in this. Imperial Alcazar, who let me down in last year's Pretemps final, unfortunately, when he got injured. Runs here for Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan, but I think Oscar Elite is going to be very hard to beat. There's some 9-2 about at the moment. He finished fourth in the Dipper. He was beaten 18.5 lengths, but it was a really nice run. And at one stage two out, I said, oh, he's actually going to get into this. I think he's a well handicapped chaser and wouldn't be surprised if he'd a big hand in something like the Ultima at the festival. So I think Oscar Elite can win the 120. And just a quick mention of proceedings at Fairy House. We have got the favourite for the Dawn Run Mayor's Novice Hurdle in Allegory Devassi running the 140 to Solarina Mayor's Novice Hurdle, which is often a good trial for that race. She's going to be short here. Paul Townend, well, I say that. The jockey bookings have just come in and Paul Townend is on Brandy Love, would you believe? I won't say he's riding Brandy Love, but he's on Brandy Love. 2-1 at the moment, best price is Brandy Love. And Allegory Devassi is now 3-1. I'm actually very surprised at that. Those jockey bookings. I would be very much in the Allegory Devassi camp over Brandy Love. I'm a bit shocked there, Bruce. I've been caught unawares.
Yeah, you sound shocked. Is that you done?
That's me done, yeah.
Okay, we'll get your nap in a moment. But in the meantime, what have you got for us, Keith?
Yeah, just a couple of quick ones. The 135 at Donny isn't on the telly. It's the Lightning Novices Chase, though. It's the one that Shishkin won last year. It's been won by some good horses
Sprinter
in the past.
Sprinter won it, didn't he?
He possibly did. Well, Henderson tends to use that sort of route, doesn't he? He probably did. Didn't he win the Game Spirit?
Did he? Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, he did. Mr. Fisher won it. I know that.
Oh, good old Mr.
Blimey, that's a rarity.
Anyway, but it's the thing with this race is, of third time lucky's in it, he's short price favourite. You know, I can see why he's favourite, but I'm going to keep betting until proved one way or the other that Do Your Job's the best horse Michael Scudamore's ever had. He didn't quite give Edward Stone a race in the Wayward Lads, but you know, that's not going to be seen as a bad thing necessarily. The longer straight might well suit him here. He is a big horse. He's going to really take defences. But yeah, he's 100-30 against third time lucky. Third time lucky, he's already sort of bloated his copybook a little bit. And we've still got to see a little bit of what he finds when it push comes to shove. So yeah, I think Do Your Job is one that I'm going to be having in the Lightning at 135. And then there's a race that you talked about, the 257. It's a mare's race, actually. I'm excited about a mare's race. I take it all back from earlier. How's this for a run of seconds, horses to be second to? Barbados Blue, Fontaine Collonge, Vienna Court, and Belle de Menech, because those are the horses that Precious Eleanor has been second to on her last four runs. Just been unlucky to keep bumping into these horses. Our Mark hasn't suffered too much for it.
It's not much to be bumping into Belle de Menech after what she did.
Well, she's run badly the last twice. That performance was absolutely monstrous, though. She is, I don't know what happened to her next twice. Her jumping certainly got her done next time, and I'm still catching up on another one. But yeah, she maybe just isn't much of a jumper and got away with it that day. But you know, the other three stand still, and Precious Eleanor, she's going to have that long straight and a little bit further to run at you talk to her. She's a bit one-paced. So yeah, I think in this race, it's a much, much weaker race than she's been running in. There's no horses of Vienna Court and Fontaine Collonge standing in this. And yeah, Precious Eleanor for me in the 257 that you talked about.
Splendid. Okay, chaps, if you are only having one bet on Saturday, who would it be? It's naps time.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with David Jennings.
I got so shocked by Paul Town and not riding Allegory de Vassi. I actually just forgot to mention that my strongest fancy on the Ferriers card, which is not my nap. Grand Paradis runs in the 12 o'clock, the beginner's chase, the opening race. I think he'll win, and I think he could win a handicap at the Cheltenham Festival as well. He's a good horse, Grand Paradis in the 12 o'clock. But my nap has got to be in the 2:30 at Cheltenham, the Cotswold chase. Simply the best, because Bruce, I think he's better than all the rest.
Oh, well done, DJ. Excellent. Some groundwork goes into this show. That's cheating. Keith, what have you got for us?
I'm glad he didn't nick my bet in Skybet Chase. It'll be De Becci, 3:20 at Donny.
Okay, thank you very much. And on Sunday, it doesn't on the face of it look like the most riveting day of all time. We've got Sedgefield and Fontwell in England, and they are racing at Nace in Ireland. And the first race at Nace, DJ, is one that we should be keeping an eye on if we like the old four-milers, shouldn't we? Tell us more.
Yeah, the three-mile sixer, the National Hunt Chase, because you've got the favourite, Runwell Fred. You've got the second favourite, Statler. You've got the third favourite, On Beton. And you've got the fourth favourite, Fenillier, all running against each other. And this is interesting because a few of these have to qualify for the race, and that means that they cannot fall and they have to finish in the first four. So it's very interesting. While 3 Mile 6 might stretch Statler a little bit, and there'll be people who think he might be a little keen and a little bit too classy for the National Hunt Chase, this has Statler written all over this race, 3 miles Nace. I have to say, I love this chase and debut of Fairy House. His form from last year, especially against Gallop and the Champ, but Punchestown is not working out too bad at all. Even as his run at Leperton at Dublin Racing Fest was a really good run. I think this is a smashing chaser. And I'll be disappointed if Statler doesn't win the 12:40. And one other one, Bruce, in the 1:40, it's a big shout. It's a very big shout. But Espoir d'Allen won this race on the way to winning the champion hurdle. Now, I'm not saying San Felicien is going to do likewise, but San Felicien is a really, really, I'm going to give it a third one, really good horse. And they think the absolute world of him in Gordon Elliott's yard. I've seen some early quotes from him here of 6-4 for this race. I am a little bit surprised that he's not odds on. I think he could potentially win this easily and be a single figure price or around 10-1 for the champion hurdle. That's how good I think he is. And I cannot wait to see him in action again. So I'd advise viewers and listeners to have a good look at San Felician in the 140. I don't know, it could be too early for him to go for a champion hurdle. A few weeks ago, I thought he definitely wouldn't go for the race. But the more I look at the champion hurdle without Honeysuckle, the more open it is. And if he did win impressively, I wouldn't be surprised to see San Felician showing up there.
Oh, is this breaking news that Honeysuckle's not running in the champion hurdle?
No, I'm saying without Honeysuckle, there's not much in it.
Yeah, but we're not without Honeysuckle.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Okay. Obviously, she's going to win.
You scared me. About the one thing left in my anti-post portfolio is a treble involving her. I mean, Fernie Hollow coming out, that was an absolute sickener, but it's all gone wrong. I'm knocking the anti-post betting on the head. I'm rubbish at it. Okay, Keith, what have you got for us on Sunday? I believe there's a couple have caught your beady eye, haven't they? Tell us more.
Yeah, I don't promise any Cheltenham Festival winners, to be perfectly honest with you, but I have spotted a couple of reasons. There's a horse that's punching down at Fontwell and a horse at Sedgefield that really caught my eye last time. The first one, the Sedgefield one, it's in the 1 o'clock. There's a horse called Just Call Me Al, who is fairly new to fences. He didn't jump that well at Musselburgh last time when he was second to Broadway Joe, who was completing a hat-trick and has finished second off a £10 higher mark since. But he travelled through that race really well. He went even money in running and got upsides Broadway Joe before I think his mistake started to tell. All his hurdles form is at Sedgefield, and he got a bit exposed over hurdles in the end, but he's a son of presenting. The pedigree suggests fences and he looks quite big, so I can see him taking well to fences in time. Sedgefield's fences don't take much jumping anyway, and yeah, he's off the same mark as when he was second to Broadway Joe. So Just Call Me Al in the 1 o'clock at Sedgefield, and then at 1:50 at Fontwell. This is a significantly easier race than the ones at Check It Out have been running in at Ascot, and well, he's third in the Beecher actually on a couple of starts back. He maybe is just not quite up to these top handicaps. He's maybe a mid-130s horse that isn't reaching towards that level, but I think he stays perfectly well. He's running in it's a 3.5 mile race at Fontwell against horses that basically wouldn't be good enough for the races he's been running in, and he's a horse I still like. He's only just turned 8, so I don't think he'd be a price, to be honest, but he's got a bit of a whiff of just wins about him.
Righty-ho, thank you very much indeed for that. Keith, weekend plans, DJ, what have you got? Anything exciting?
Do you know what I'm doing, Bruce? And I can't wait. I'm off tomorrow, and one of my mates tomorrow is hosting a kind of a poker evening. He built a new house, and we're playing poker. Like, there's like 14 of my mates are playing, and he's 2 tables of 7 set up. And I can't wait.
are you an experienced poker player, DJ? Because you've no, whatever the opposite of a poker face is, you've got it. You wear your heart on your sleeve. Now, the moment you've got an ace, you may as well tattoo it on your forehead. I've got an ace.
Yeah, it was like the night I met Aoife. It was like I caught and like it was, there was no playing hard to get. That was it. The only thing I will say, I took Paul Keely's trousers down one night in Gibraltar playing.
Figuratively speaking, listeners.
Yeah, sorry. Playing. hopefully it is. God. I played poker one night in Gibraltar. But I don't know if you played, but you were there. And,
I always go to bed early. I'm a lightweight, so I always go to bed before you lot decamp to the casino.
I'm useless, but I do have my odd good moment. But I presume I'll be one of the first out and will just enjoy myself.
Yeah, I'd keep it. Don't take too much money with you, DJ, and I think that's probably the best way. But you never know. Hopefully, you have a bit of fun there.
good to see you have loads of faith in me anyway, Bruce. Thank you.
I've absolutely no faith in you whatsoever. Keith, what does the weekend hold for you, buddy?
My street cred going to take a hit here. My poker night's a few weeks away yet, but we're going to one of those murder mystery things, me and my wife. You know, those things where you get dressed up.
Yeah, you go to like a hotel in Scarborough for us.
No, it's just at somebody's house.
All right. And you have you have to wear a DJ, do you?
No. Well, my character determines that you sort of have to, yeah. So I get the suit on in the Dickie Bow, and I put on a plummy accent because my character's based on Ian Fleming.
Wow, I've never done one of those.
What do you do at the end? Do you throw all the keys in a bowl or what?
Well, no, it does have that. I've done them before, and I do have faint vibes like that, to be perfectly honest with you, but it's never happened yet. But yeah, I mean, they're quite good fun. It's good to pretend to be somebody else sometimes.
Does it involve copious amounts of alcohol?
Well, this one's got a Cuban theme, so I assume there'll be loads of rum.
I actually think that sounds quite enjoyable. I'd actually like to do something like that.
It's the sort of thing that, and you hear it suggested and you think, God, that is going to be hell on earth, but you do it and it's great.
I've not done that. I'm not sure. That might be one of those ones where if the invite came and I'd be like, oh, I'd love to, but I've got work. It's a really beast Breeders' Cup night. And then you're sitting there watching some rubbish race at Saratoga trying to make out it's important so that your excuse stands up. But, well, enjoy yourselves, lads. Poker and a murder mystery. Good luck to everybody with your weekend betting. As we always say on the show, only bet with money you can afford to lose. If you want even more wisdom than you got from DJ and Keith, don't forget to download the Racing Post app. It is packed with fantastic facts. You can bet directly through it. You can watch races. It's free. And you can get that from your usual app provider. Maddie and the gang will be back on Monday to pick through the bones of the weekend. And we're back next Friday for another Racing Post Weekend Postcast.